Thank you for downloading or podcasting this track. This recording has been remastered to provide the best sound possible given the audio environment of the original recording session. Mosaic Silver Spring is a faith community located just inside the Capitol Beltway in Montgomery County. For more information, please visit our website, www.mosaicsilverspring.org, and we'll see you in the neighborhood.
Good morning, church. My name is Kimiko, and I will be doing the scripture reading this morning. Our passage today is Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. Please join with me if you are able. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we praise you that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved except through Jesus. And we praise you for the gift of life we have in Christ. Pray that you would fill Joel now with your spirit and lead him in the preaching of your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kimiko. As we continue in the book of Acts, we are seeing God's work by the power of his Spirit, his plan to bring those Old Testament promises of salvation to all peoples. And so we're beginning to see God work by the power of his Spirit, first at Pentecost when it is poured out on all who believe. And the apostles, those who had followed Jesus, are declaring this news. And it's a very simple news for anyone with ears to hear. It is that our hope in the face of sin and death can be found in Jesus. turning to him in faith, that is the hope that we have for eternal life, for salvation, for healing, for all that God has promised. And so it's freely open for all who would believe. And so John and Peter begin to proclaim this. They begin to interact with people in and around the temple area in Jerusalem, and they begin to proclaim these realities of Christ's life, his death, and his resurrection from the dead as evidence, as physical signs to people that through Christ's death and resurrection, we have hope even in the face of death. Now, this did not make everyone happy. There was an existing group of authorities, the power structure, the people who thought were the ones who decide what news goes out and how things like religious instruction are to be done. And they call, well, that's a little too lightly, they arrest John and Peter. And in the opening of chapter 4, after a healing had taken place, and after Peter had made clear what was going on, they, in verse 1, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, they come upon them. They were greatly annoyed. You see, they viewed themselves as the ones in power. They viewed themselves as the influencers who were going to shape how people should respond to God and respond to what he was doing. And for them, in particular, news of a resurrection, this idea that someone had died, had faced the reality of death, and by the power of God had been raised from the dead, for them, that wasn't okay. That wasn't the way in which they envisioned God working in the world. And so they send the authorities to Peter and John. We've got some questions for you, Peter and John, and we want answers. And so they scoop them up. They say, listen, you've been proclaiming the resurrection from the dead. And so they arrested them in verse 3. They put them in custody until the next day. And effectively, they begin to work back from the healing of the lame man at the start of chapter 3. So if you want to read that story later, you can go back into chapter 3 and see what the dynamic is there. But they are, in effect, saying, we have questions, and we want answers. And so they ask in verse 7, by what power or by what name did you do this? Probably referring to the healing, maybe also referring back to the proclamation of the resurrection of the dead. Maybe both. We're not quite sure. Probably looking at all of it. They want to know by whose power, by whose authority are you doing all of this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, so when he is arrested, when he's facing the authorities over him in the temple area who are calling him to account, just as Jesus had promised in the Gospel of Luke, he would not be left alone. That God, by the power of his Spirit, would be with him and would even speak through him. And here in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means has this man been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you. This Jesus is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What is the power? By whose authority do Peter and John make the good news of Jesus known and do things like heal those who are lame they make the simple answer clear. It is through the power of Jesus of Nazareth, the one who those same authorities, the one who said, hey, we're the ones in control here. You run all this stuff through us. They were also the ones who viewed Jesus as a poser, as someone who was illegitimate, as someone who could be delivered over to the Romans and given to death. That is what they thought of Jesus. And Peter and John are there to declare, not just to them, and not just to the lame man who's now healed, but to all who have ears to hear, that stone that they just tossed away, as Psalm 118 alludes to, they quote that and pull it forward. That stone, Jesus of Nazareth, that you just so flippantly cast aside, he has become the cornerstone of God's plan for redemption that has opened the doors, that has extended an invitation, that has become God's salvation for you and for me and for all who hear. There is salvation in no one else, for there is none other, no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. So by what power or whose authority? Peter and John, they declare it clearly. It's through the resurrected Jesus. This is a bit of a power flip, right? So these authorities, the ones who had the lineage, the history, the learning, the credentials, the control of the temple, that sacred space, they thought, everything goes through us. And they flippantly describe Peter and John as uneducated, common men in verse 13, right? Those words put together, probably ignorant of the law. Who are they to know what God is doing? And here in chapter 4, that's the big flip that you see going on. The people who thought themselves in pole position to make the best decisions for the people of God, they were the ones who took the most important stone in God's plan and cast it aside. And yet these uneducated common men, those whom weren't thought to know very well what God is doing, they are the ones who recognize the cornerstone, the most important piece to God's building, to his redemptive plan. And so that is through whom healing and salvation comes. It is a declaration that should reorient our lives. We at times can feel so distant, I think, from the reality of the resurrection in certain ways. It took place in a different culture. It took place 2,000 years ago. And so we may struggle at times when we're confronted with different power structures, when we have to give an answer, when it all boils down to us. In the midst of our lives, where do we look for healing? Where do we search for salvation? It's an open question to you this morning. Where do you tend to turn? When you think through, what is my life all about? Where is my identity rooted? In the midst of the ups and downs and struggles, where can I turn? Peter and John's answer to those authorities in the first century is true for you and I today. The news that they were proclaiming in Jerusalem spreads not just to Judea, not just to Samaria, not just to the ends of the first century world, but they extend to Silver Spring, to Kensington, to Rockville, to all of Montgomery County and beyond. It is news that you too can participate in the name of Jesus, the one through whom salvation comes. It's a free offer to you this morning. So that when you think through the question of, well, where do I find my identity? Where is my salvation rooted? What gives me power to walk through life? That you think deeply about the resurrection of Jesus. That he is the one that you would turn to. In 2018, Chadwick Boseman was giving the graduation speech to Howard University. That was his alma mater. And he, in 2018, had the opportunity to, in the ceremony, to help prepare the graduates to move into the world. And as he moved through the speech, little known to the graduates that day, or really anyone, he himself was wrestling with an aggressive form of cancer. And yet, when he is thinking, how can I help these women and men who are about to, with their degrees in hand, go into the world, he reminds them that through life, there is going to be ups and downs. There is going to be suffering. And he phrases it and says, listen, if someone or something is blocking the door in your life and you're struggling, it may even knock you down, you should trust in God. He is the one who can pick them up and move them out of the way. That if it is in his plan, he is the one who can move people out of your way. And that we are to orient our lives. His message, in effect, was that in the suffering and ups and downs in your world, in our world, God is the one to whom you should turn for hope. And while he is delivering this message, again, what's unknown to us is he himself intimately knows the struggle. He is fighting against cancer, seeking treatment, recognizing that life is full of complications, suffering, struggle, injustices. Yet where does he turn? Where does he call us to turn? It is a continuation of the message of Peter and John. It's a continuation of the work of Jesus. That when he entered into the grave, that God is the one who raised him from the dead. It is God who moved the stone out of the way so that we may have hope in the face of our own struggles and the hope and hope in the face of death. That is what the resurrection means to us today. It is our only hope as Christians. No matter what happens in various culture wars across time or across various countries, the Christian message is rooted in the hope of Christ's death and resurrection, those two things together, and that we are invited individually and as a community to find our security in him. And so we have to be cautious as a church to remain humble, not thinking that it's us who leverage the wheels of power, recognizing that this is God's plan to bring salvation and that we get the chance to participate in it, but we don't run it. It's not our plan. But also recognizing that we don't have to become more savvy, more complex, more sophisticated than the simple news of God's grace to us through Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it meant to be a Christian in John and Peter's day, when they're making this news known and people are coming to faith for the first time. That's what it means to be a Christian today. Faith that in the midst of your own sin and struggle, you have hope through God's grace by the power of his Spirit making us alive, just as he moved the stone away so that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, became the first to overcome death. That he becomes the leader for us, the one who cuts a path for us, the one whom we follow. No matter the day, no matter the circumstance, no matter the age, that is the Christian hope. May God give us grace to follow that faithfully, with the humility, not thinking that we're in control, but also resisting the temptation that we have to make it something different, more savvy, more sophisticated. Let us all cling tightly to the hope that we have in Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I ask that as we live in the ups and downs, as we struggle, that you will meet us by the power of your Spirit, that you will point us and reorient our lives to the hope that we have in Christ's death and resurrection. Let Jesus be our identity as Christians. Let him be our hope. Let him be our joy, even in the midst of struggle. Amen.